Hello, and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I am going to be discussing how to disconnect from the system and reconnect with your community. I think community should be the center of our focus as we return to our homesteading roots and efforts. Self-sufficiency is great. Don't get me wrong, but communities are where real power lies. I want to chat with you about how you and we can do this. We are so caught up in big box stores, big food grocery stores, and big pharma medical that we have lost sight of what is right in front of us, our communities. I love to encourage people to be self-sufficient through food storage, water collection systems, gardening, hunting, and any other skill that allows someone to gain independence from the system. I believe the system has pilfered our freedoms over time, so they have stolen them right under our nose. Truly, the rug has been pulled right from under us over the last century, and now this generation, my generation, your generation is like, what the heck is going on? Everyone is sick, our countries are collapsing, riots are happening in the streets, we are experiencing lockdowns, everyone wore a diaper on their face for a few years, inflation is through the roof, grocery stores were empty for a period of time, we had food shortages, grocery store prices are skyrocketing. So we have all these things that are just bubbling to the surface right now. Because the self-sustaining skills our great-grandparents had dwindled, they dissipated through the generations over the last century, we are left clasping to morsels when we were promised a feast, okay? But you need to understand that feast we were promised of a perfect system, it never existed. It only existed to swipe our freedoms away and leave us dependent on the system. So let me explain. Over the last 100 years, we had the grocery stores introduced, women went back to work, the family structure has collapsed. Now, no one knows how to grow a garden. No one knows how to preserve food or connect with their communities. We have been further disconnected through our use of technology. Don't get me wrong, I'm using technology right now to reach you, which I think is great. That's what I like to do on my social medias. I am here for that one person who is out there wanting to find some truth, wanting to find some community, because that was me. That was me some years ago, and I am grateful for the people who stood up and they were speaking out. Now we have children that are glued to tablets and split off from society. Communities have been dismantled through the big food takeover. Families have been destroyed and deteriorated through the feminist movement, getting the woman out of the home and into the workplace. I think you can do whatever you want. You do you. That's absolutely my motto. But there was a reason for the feminist movement, and it was not about our rights. When I say that we were promised a feast and we were left with morsels, we were promised a feast of all these rights. And the morsel now is that you have to have two people in the household working or else everything is falling apart. The woman's at home to take care of the children, or somebody isn't. The husband is off working 40 plus hours a week, so then he can pay another woman in a day care service to take care of his children. And then his woman is out working for another man. So do you kind of see the situation that they put us in? They promised us a feast. They left us with morsels. And now we are just moving day to day through a toxic sludge we can barely make it through. It doesn't have to be like this though. It really doesn't. With all of this considered, self-sufficiency is great. Okay. Knowing how to do everything, grow your own garden, preserve your own food. But what is it worth if you don't have a community to connect with and build off of, trade skills with, trade resources? Take a moment with me to go back in time a century ago when our great-grandparents were homesteading, all right? Tablets and screens weren't the centerpieces of homes or child entertainment. People relied on face-to-face interactions and the support of their neighbors. In our great-grandparents' era, communities were more than just a collection of individuals living in proximity. They were tight-knit networks woven together by shared values, traditions, and struggles. This is an important one, struggles that were unique to the area that you lived in. Now we live in a time where cookie cutter houses are boxed together, cars rattle on the street 24/7, and we don't even know our neighbors. Though our houses are separated by just a few feet, we don't even know who lives next to us. I experienced this when I lived in various cities. I lived right next to people and I didn't even know them, didn't even engage them. We never talked. If we were outside at the same time, you know, you try to rush in really quickly. I remember being in an apartment complex and going to my neighbor to borrow an egg because I was baking something and I was out, and they were completely baffled that I asked them. They were so taken aback. And that was a wake-up moment for me in the city that I wasn't in Kansas anymore, and I didn't like that. I knew eventually I had to get out. I find it extremely interesting that now I am on a piece of property. It's sprawled out. My neighbors aren't right next to me, but I am closer in contact with my neighbors and what's going on than I ever was with the person who lived 8 to 10 feet away from me. I am calling my neighbors. I just helped my neighbor actually yesterday go find their lost dog. I was calling my other neighbors in the process. And, you know, we reach out and see how each other are doing. And we have this little community, this little network. So if you think about it, a century ago, our great grandparents relied on their neighbors to survive. I know mine did. How could you survive it rough and tumble without the support next door? You were facing similar trials. So in order to endure and move forward, you had to see it through together. And their communities would gather at the local general store, the church, or the town hall, not to just shop or to pray, but to connect, share stories, and offer help when needed. I know it wasn't all roses and lollipops. I know that, but there was a sense of community that is not present anymore. I believe media is partially to blame for that. The media now is a weapon. Actually, I think it's always been a weapon, but it is used as a weapon to divide and to conquer. They instill seeds of hate to divide us and tear our communities apart. Right now, they are winning, but we can turn it around. Back then, whether it was lending a hand on a neighboring homestead, supporting each other through hard times, or celebrating victories together, these communities provided a sense of belonging and security that was priceless, and we just don't have that anymore. And moreover, communities were networks of knowledge and wisdom. I talk about this all the time, all this knowledge that was lost. I have a tidbit of knowledge passed down from my great grandpa who homesteaded and had the largest sheep ranch in his area, but I ache to think about the floods of knowledge that dissipated through the generations. As convenience came in, my grandparents and parents didn't have to hold to this knowledge to survive, right? So this knowledge was necessary for survival for so long, and then it wasn't necessary because the system offered us the feast and said, hey, come and have some of this feast. Don't worry, it's always going to be good. Well, they went to the feast and now we are left with those morsels. So this self-sufficiency and these community adorning skills, if you didn't have those, right, this community sense of survival back then, you were toast, but now you don't need those. You can survive. So thousands of years of knowledge in my family line, and it disappeared with the introduction of this new world order type of system. Like, do you see that? Thousands of years, okay? Because you wouldn't have been able to survive. You literally wouldn't back then if you didn't have these skills. Our ancestors would pass down traditions and teachings to the next generation, ensuring that these valuable skills that had sustained us for all of this time and our cultural legacy was preserved and cherished. Now we have a McDonald's on every corner, and that is a facet of America's culture. Our sense of community has been lost. Our great grandparents, with their intertwined communities who faced adversaries together for a common purpose, they moved forward. They fostered collaboration and sufficiency as a whole. They were working together. People could accomplish more than they ever could alone. And now we are left disconnected and handing our children tablets instead of handing down skills and family stories. So there is power in community. The system knew that. So they started to break us up. Communities back then also supplied a sense of identity and purpose. Your community was a part of who you were and how your family functioned. When I think of the United States or even the world, different areas offered different ways of life and work environments, you know, job opportunities, and that would shape your family and the structure and, you know, what the sons and the dads did and the moms and who they married. And I am grateful to have some homesteading roots I can hold on to and try to return to, but really this sense of identity has been smeared, so it is undistinguishable. And people no longer have a community to identify with. A people without an identity are easy to control. We are no longer individuals with a common purpose facing similar problems. We are a conglomerate, genderless mass that is easily manipulated. Do you see how they have done this? The system, through the media and algorithms, will confuse you on who you are and your inherent identity, and they will disconnect you from your community, you know, people who you're around. They don't want community and people coming together. That identity that used to be ingrained through your community, it's gone. It was ingrained based on where you were born and what your community was striving for. And I think there's a beauty in that, right? That community gave a sense of place in the world and a shared goal and destination with those around you. Now, community is found through the news network, when they tell you right or left, black or white, etc. That is division. That is not community. As we reflect on our great grandparents' era, it's clear that the strength of communities played an integral role in who our families once were. Strong communities are a threat to the system. And if we start to depend on our neighbor and trade resources, skills, say you trade milk from your cow for vegetables from your neighbor's garden, the system starts to fail. It starts to collapse. You aren't going to the grocery store as much, and you likely don't have to go through the medical system as frequently because you are eating healthy and sharing that with your community. You're making a stronger community. You find your independence while building bonds with those around you. We can return to this. I believe we can. It may be a bit difficult because we have been so conditioned out of it, but if you strive for it, wherever you live, you can find pockets of people who are seeking similar ideals as you are. And I am frequently asked, how can I live like this? How do I find farms near me? What do I need to do? Well, let's lay it out here, and I will share bits of what I did to get me to where I am at today. So right now, go and look up farms in your area. This is a simple search on whatever browser engine you use. See if they have websites. The farm has a farm website. Browse and see what they offer. If they have a phone number, call them and ask if they sell produce, meat, or raw milk, or whatever you were looking for. See if they do farm tours. Ask where you can pick up or where you can purchase from. Do they sell to local grocery stores? This is a great start. You may be a little jolted at first because of the prices. Yes, organic, non-GMO, locally grown food is more expensive for the most part. What you need to understand, though, is the prices at the grocery store have been held artificially low by incentives and various subsidies. These prices are not real. Because the system is now beginning to break down in front of our eyes, prices are starting to explode. So we are getting a taste of the reality. The best taste of reality is to wake up from that matrix and start sourcing local and invest in yourself and your health, and most importantly, your community. You will see the difference, you will taste the difference, and you will feel the difference. And it's so cool. There's nothing like being able to go to the farm, see the people you are supporting, see the animals out in the field. It really is life-changing. Instead of, say, for example, you go to the grocery store and you buy some chicken in the package. How was that chicken raised? How were they treated? What conditions did it live in? You have no clue. Same thing with your eggs, your milk. So you see how the system has disconnected us from our communities. They have fostered our reliance onto them, and now it's collapsing. When 2020 happened and I was faced with empty grocery stores, literally every grocery store around me was empty. I was finally able to open my eyes and search for real alternatives. I found a farm store actually half a mile down the road from me where I lived. I had lived there for a few years, didn't even know this, and I went to visit it because I was intrigued at the idea of farm to market food. I think I just looked up farms near me and found this little store that was right under my nose. I can't believe it. But to my surprise, when I went there in 2020 during all the chaos, this farm store was filled with meats, jellies, produce, and farm fresh eggs. The store was literally full while the main grocery stores were empty. Speaking about this now makes my heart a little heavy just because I know the truth of our food system and how symbolic this event was. This is why I will never shut up about our food situation. This event symbolized how disconnected from our food we are and how easily manipulated society is, how disconnected we are from our communities. We were tossed to and fro via the news, which led to empty shelves at these mass super chain grocery stores that profited off of our panic. While this mom and pop farm store, where the people grew their own food, butchered their own animals, and brought together the farmers in the area to sell their goods at this little farm store, it was stocked full. The shelves were beaming with food. My community had everything we needed, but we failed to see it because of how misled we have been. I still remember standing there in shock at the full freezers, the fridges, the shelves. Imagine if we were selling out these farm stores, changing local families' lives by doing so, and putting money back into our communities instead of these big box stores that do not care about us. Imagine how this would change the world. Handing your money over to stores like Walmart does nothing besides fund some slave shop and mystery slaughterhouse in China. Seriously, I recently saw a TikTok of a woman, I can assume in Asia somewhere, working in one of these sweatshops, and all of the people were sleeping on the floor at their jam-packed sewing station. So they were all crammed together. They had their sewing machines, and it looked like they were sewing inserts for shoes, probably shoes you get at Walmart, wear for a month and throw away. This is the kind of thing you support when you buy big box. When it comes to buying from big box grocery stores, like again, Walmart, you are supporting the spraying of mystery chemicals on your food, inhumane treatment of animals, and lab-made processed garbage. Just stop it. Go local. Find farms in your area. Find those local farm stores. If you have to drive, just do it. It's worth it. When I first started sourcing raw milk, I had to drive, it was about an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours round trip to get raw milk. But you just go, you stock up, you learn how to preserve, and that will help you in your homesteading journey. It truly is worth it for supporting these families, for supporting your health, and then not supporting some mystery. Like, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, right? We don't know what's behind the curtain, but I'm pulling the curtain for you right now. It's those sprayed chemicals. It's the inhumane treatment of animals. What are they feeding those animals that you are then eating at the store? So when you pick up that piece of beef, number one, is it actually beef or was it made in a lab? Number two, what did they eat? Most likely those animals were eating garbage. They were eating filth. They were living in filth. So do you think eating meat that was grown in filth and from garbage is gonna benefit you? No, it's not. But here is another idea for helping you rekindle those connections with your community. Call your nearest grocery store that most likely will be a health type grocery store, like Whole Foods or a local one, maybe even just your general grocery store. The idea is to see if they source any of their items from farms or producers around the area. Some grocery stores will stock local items, so call and see if your grocery stores do. I say it will most likely be a health type grocery store that does this because they will be more conscious of what they put on their shelves. If you are in a smaller community with limited options, the big box grocery stores may still stock local. Call and see. I did this when I was sourcing out raw milk and called around to see what grocery stores had it. From these efforts, though they are small, you will be able to start fostering community. You will go to the farm, you will meet the farmer, and maybe spark a relationship. If not, you may meet someone in the farm store that you get to chatting with and learn they are a neat person with skills that you'd like to learn, or maybe they just become a friend or you exchange a recipe. If you don't want to make any friends, that's totally okay too. Know that you are still changing lives by supporting your community and still fostering that community by putting your money back into it. Another way to start building community is by getting involved. This could be by going to the farmers markets and getting to know the people in your area who are selling food, seedlings, or sharing types of art. You can get involved by looking up Facebook groups in your area and seeing what kinds of pages you can join. For example, if you lived in Portland, you could look up Portland homesteading groups and see what pops up and if there are any groups to join. If you're interested in beekeeping, do the same. Look up Portland beekeeping, Oregon beekeeping, and see what pops up. You don't necessarily need Facebook to join these things, but I know there are a lot of different communities that Facebook facilitates, but I assume there are other clubs independent of social media. Read your local newspaper to see what events are upcoming and what your community needs. Attend those events. This is a great way to see what your community is about and if you vibe with it. Another example of this is the place where I get all of my bee supplies. Whenever I go in there, they have posters of clubs and different events that sort around beekeeping. And so if I wanted to go to those and meet other beekeepers, I totally could. Another easy way to find community could be through using As Your Standard. This is an online grocery store that you order from, and they drop off your order once a month at a pickup spot in your area. Think like an online non-GMO organic Costco that you can get quality goods from, but without having to pay for a membership, which is so nice. I say this is a way to foster and grow community because this is one way of how I did it when I was first starting to pursue this lifestyle. I got on and purchased foods I wanted to preserve and rotate into my pantry or food storage. Then at the drops each month, I was able to meet other people. I found that often these other people shared similar interests like food storage, quality chicken feed, and gardening. I met someone a while back and we still sporadically message each other about chicken feed and what we have found lately that has been a good quality for a good price. So you may be surprised on who you could meet. Show up early to those drops too. The driver will drop off the boxes and then leave you to pick them up throughout the day, depending on the drop spot. That's what mine is like now, but you will have a coordinator who you can ask your questions to. I found that arriving early, I got to mingle with people, chat with them, and I know that we can rebuild our communities. You will feel much happier when you start digging in your roots and connecting with those around you. Every time you support local, you are able to change someone's life. Every time you support big box, you are only putting money into a corporation's wallet, and they don't care about you. They don't care about your health. They want you sick. They want you diseased. They want you dependent on the system. Break free of that. I hope these ideas help you think of some ways you can get involved at your community level and start building and fostering that community, like how our great grandparents did. It was so beneficial for them. And I think that is going to be an integral part into how our futures play out and how the future of the world plays out. Community truly is everything. And I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope that you have a great day and I appreciate your time. I hope your day is beautiful and sunny. Bye.